This dynamic message is brought to you by Christian Family Church International.
The title of my message this morning is The Power of Peace. In the 1300s, peace meant a sense of quiet. Today, it has a much different meaning, especially among the younger crowd. When they're leaving, they say, peace out. This morning, let's look at what God's Word says about the power of peace. One of the things we must absolutely know is that God loves us. God loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Most people think when they're going through a storm in their life that God doesn't love them or that he doesn't care. Today, I want us to look at some truths in the Bible, and I believe by the end of the message, you'll agree that he does love us. Whether we're weathering a storm or walking on sunshine, I'm sure you'll see that his love is greater than the storm, and he is our shelter in the storm. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark 4:38, or you can follow along on the screens if you prefer, or your iPad or your Android, your Bible app. Let's read. This is the story about Jesus and the disciples. They're in a storm on the boat. Let's find out where Jesus is. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" No faith? That's pretty harsh. I mean, that's a pretty tough rebuke for his disciples. How is it that you have no faith? Now, I've heard ministers say the reason that Jesus said it was because the disciples should have rebuked the storm themselves. I don't disagree with this interpretation. But let's consider something more fundamental. Something that would cause Jesus to issue such a strong rebuke as, "You have no faith." Other translations say, "You still," emphasis on the word still, "you still have no faith." At this point in Jesus' ministry, the disciples have already seen him move by compassion to heal the sick, including a paralyzed man and Peter's own mom-in-law, cleanse the leper, cast out demons as they shrieked, "You are the Son of God." These men witnessed firsthand how much compassion Jesus has for people and how much he loves them. Yet they awake him saying, "Do you not care?" Family, I propose this is why he said they had no faith. Jesus knew they had seen enough and heard enough to at least know that he cares, to at least know that he loves them. The first thing we have to know in our hearts is that Jesus cares, that Jesus loves us. We need to know we have faith and that he is there for us. One day I was driving down Culebra Road in San Antonio on my way to Southwest Research Institute, my largest client at the time. I was fellowshipping with the Lord, and I thought I would ask him a question. It was one of those times I was feeling particularly theological. So I thought he and I could have one of those really deep, profound conversations. I sensed maybe this would be one of those aha moments. I could be the apologist of all apologists because I was tackling the most fundamental of spiritual insight. As I prepared for a lengthy dialogue with our Creator, I posed this question: how do I know I have faith? Without delay, his answer was simple. You asked. That's it? That's all? Where's the angelic visitation, the divine light, the lengthy revelation? I was expecting a lot more. Disappointed for a second because he didn't do it my way, the revelation began to rise in my heart and in my spirit. It's not complicated like the devil would have us believe. It really is simple. How do you know you have faith today? Well, you're sitting in a room, worshiping a God you've never seen, reading a book by men you've never met. If you've ever prayed any kind of prayer to the Father, it shows that you have faith just because you ask the question. The Father exists, You believe that he cares and you believe that he loves you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have asked. So taken in this light, Jesus' rebuke of the disciples was correct. If we know anything about God, we know that he cares for us. Just because we're caught in a storm doesn't lessen his compassion. If anything, it gets his attention when we stay at peace. We all have opportunities to get upset or to live stressed out. The storms of life come to everyone. God's word says the rain falls on the just and unjust. No matter how good we are, we're going to have some rain. We can't pray away every difficulty. John 16:33 out of the Message says, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. Often we use our faith to try to control the circumstances. And there are times when that is the case. But I found it's better to start off using my faith to challenge my flesh to trust God. I remind and encourage myself about how God is so good. I put my faith in the fact that he is compassionate, that he cares. I get still. I get quiet. I listen for his voice and for his direction. God never said we would be free of difficulties, but he did say we could have peace in the storms. We saw in the opening passage, Jesus himself was asleep in the middle of the storm, in perfect peace, in the middle of a very traumatic time, because he knew the power of peace. Like Jesus, if we can just stay stable in the storms of life, if we can just stay in peace, that's what allows God to change things. When we face adversity, one of the most powerful things we can do is simply stay calm. When we are at peace, we are proving to God that we trust him. Our actions say, God, I know you're still on the throne, and I know you are bigger than this problem. Anyone ever heard of Tornado Alley? I lived there for almost 6 years, a couple of different cities, as a teenager. I've been around tornadoes many times. Let me tell you, when the people are warned that a tornado is imminent, fear strikes. When the winds are blowing, it seems the storm will last a lifetime. Now, I like to look up interesting facts. Anybody else like that? So I jotted down a few notes to share about tornadoes. Tornadoes have been reported in every state in the U.S., in every season, and on every continent of the planet except Antarctica. So none of us are immune to a potential tornado. The most powerful tornadoes on the planet occur in the U.S. They can travel, cover a distance of 70 miles in an hour. They have winds of over 250 miles an hour, which are the fastest winds on Earth. A strong tornado can pick up a house and move it down the block. A tornado once in Oklahoma destroyed an entire motel. The motel sign was later found in Arkansas. 1931, a tornado in Mississippi lifted an 83-ton train and tossed it 80 feet from the track. Tornadoes can be a mile wide, up to 50 miles long. They can knock down trees, even small ones, telephone poles, blow roofs off houses, and do all kinds of damage. Tornadoes are deadly and horrible storms, but inside the shelter, everything is just fine. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. At least three times the prophet Isaiah refers to God as our shelter in a storm. The winds, hail, and damage can be all around us. If we step out of the shelter, it can be a very dangerous place. But if we stay inside the shelter, everything's going to be all right. It's the same principle in life. The storm may be raging in your health, your finances, your business, your ministry, your family. You could easily be torn apart. But in the shelter during the storm, there's a place where you can enter and find rest, find protection, find true peace. God may not deliver you from every storm, but if you can learn to stay in his shelter, You can have peace right in the middle of the storm. Some of you are facing major challenges, constantly wrestling with a problem, so worried about it you can't even sleep well. Maybe you're trying to fix this person, or trying to pay back that person who did you wrong, or maybe you're trying to pray long enough just to let God know you really mean business. You're stressed, you're worried, you're frustrated. Hebrews 4:3 tells us, "For we who have believed do enter that rest." If we want God to take care of our problem, we have to come back to that place of peace. We have to run into the shelter. When we act on God's word, that shows what we really believe. Here's a key, family. You may be in the storm right now, but don't let that storm get in you. When your job's in jeopardy, don't let that storm get in you. When disease is discovered in your body, don't let that storm get in your spirit. When your finances are tight, don't let that storm's lightning scare you and get in you. When somebody's aggravating you or trying to get on your nerves, don't let that get on the inside. Maybe you have a situation that's causing sleepless nights as you worry about it. Don't give away your peace. You can't stop every storm, but you can keep it from getting inside your shelter. Psalm 57:1 says, "Be merciful and gracious to me, O God. Be merciful and gracious to me. For my soul takes refuge and finds shelter and confidence in you. Yes, in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge and be confident until the calamities and destructive storms are past." Say this with me. When I take refuge in God, I can be confident until the calamities and destructive storms are past. Let's recall the story of Daniel. He was a devout follower of God and prayed constantly. Now, this violated a new law, as a result, he was to be thrown into the lion's den. He was going to be torn limb from limb and eaten. That was the plan. Have any of you ever been close to a lion? I mean, outside of a zoo? Well, Pastor Christina and I were very blessed to go on safari in South Africa on two occasions. I've been this close, literally 6 feet, from a lion. And let me tell you, they are huge. Their paws are this big. When they stand and walk by your truck, they're eye to eye with your driver. Our guide said that humans would be the easiest prey for lions to hunt and eat. We're slow and relatively weak compared to most of the animals in the bush. Believe me, Daniel did not stand a chance in the natural. But when he was sentenced to death, Daniel didn't get upset. He didn't stay up all night begging God to help protect him and rebuking the devil. He knew the power of peace. He just stayed calm and rested in knowing God cares. Now, we're not sure how it happened, but the scripture leaves the impression that Daniel did not resist as he was thrown in the lion's den. I imagine he found a nice warm lion to cozy up to for that cold desert night and slept like a baby, just like Jesus did on the boat. Daniel was sleeping right in the middle of his storm. Daniel knew the power of peace and just believed that God cares, that God loves us, and had faith in his word. Controlling a bunch of hungry lions was beyond Daniel's natural ability. So he just trusted God to shelter and protect him for the night. He didn't get stressed or fearful because that would have opened the door for negative results. He remained at peace. He was in a storm, but he didn't let the storm get in him. And that's what allowed God to work. But when we're worried, living stressed out, fighting our way through life, trying to make things happen, we tie the Almighty's hands. We tie the hands of God. The children of Israel had just come out of slavery and were heading toward the promised land. They were so happy to finally be free. But then Pharaoh changed his mind and chased after them. They were trapped against the Red Sea with no way of escape. They were surely doomed. In the natural, there was nowhere to go. It looked impossible. This is when they messed up, family. Not many hours and days before, God had just delivered them through awesome miracles. But here, they get upset and they let the storm get inside them. Instead of staying in faith, they begin to complain. They say, "Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? It was better to serve the Egyptians than die here in the wilderness." Moses knew he had to help them out of the storm of doubt and fear and into the shelter of God's compassion for them. Moses knew if he didn't get them to trust in God's protection, they would be lost. Let's look at what Moses said. Exodus 14:13. "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest." The New Living says, "Just stay calm." Now that's a powerful principle. God will fight our battles if we stay calm and remain in peace. I heard Pastor Steve Barry tell this true story, told to him by a friend, about a mechanic who worked on 18-wheeler trucks at a big diesel shop. For years, this man wasn't treated right at work. They made fun of him because he was a Christian, and he wouldn't go party with them. Year after year, he put up with their ridicule and sarcasm. They treated him like a second-class citizen, like an inferior individual. Actually, he was the top-producing mechanic 7 years in a row. But he never had a raise or promotion or any kind of bonus, mostly because his supervisor didn't like him. He could have easily lived stressed out and angry. But someone told him what I'm telling you today about the power of peace. They told him, "Don't let those people get on your nerves. You're not working unto them, you're working unto the Lord." So he just shook it off and kept on being his best. It was bad all around him, but he found shelter in the storm where he knew God would protect him. One day out of the blue, the owner calls him. They'd never met because the owner wasn't involved in the day-to-day operations. The owner said he wanted to retire and he wanted to sell his business. He was looking for somebody to buy the company. He offered it to this mechanic. Now the mechanic was honest and said, "Sir, I don't have the money to buy the business because I'm just an employee." So the owner offered to work out a deal where he would loan the money to the mechanic. Today, that man owns the company and has 80 employees. He said, "They used to call me names. Now they call me boss." Psalm 31:19 of the New Living. "How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues." When we stay at peace, when we stay in peace, God will not only fight our battles, but he'll pay us back for trouble the enemy's brought to us. Some people in life are just peace stealers. They think it's their calling to aggravate you and to make you look bad. They try to tell you what you can't do, or try to bait you into an argument, or get you upset, annoyed, or frustrated. Don't take their bait. It's just not worth losing your peace over. They may think they're getting the best of you, but in the end, God will take you higher. They may think they're pushing you down, but because you stayed in peace, what they're really doing is pushing you up. Maybe people where you work treat you bad. Maybe your spouse or significant other talks down to you at times. Maybe your parents act like that you can't do anything right. Maybe these people love you and just don't even know what they're doing when they're being negative. But in the end, they're just peace stealers. You are not who they say you are. You are who God says you are. If you will stay in peace and keep being your best, God will promote you right in front of them. God said in Psalm 93 that he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Quit trying to win over someone that's never going to like you. Some people just don't want to be at peace with you. You've got to come to a place where you say, I don't need your approval to feel good about myself. I don't need to be in your group to enjoy my life. I'm at peace with you not liking me. I'm even at peace with you trying to make me look bad, because I know a secret. When I remain at rest, the creator of the universe shows up to fight my battles, and he'll get me where I'm supposed to be. God has seen every wrong that's been done to you. He's seen every unfair situation. He told the people of Israel in Exodus 3:7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good land, large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And when God brought them out, they didn't come out empty-handed. Psalm 105:37 says, he also brought them out with gold and silver. Now, somebody may have done you wrong, and you could easily get bitter or angry and spend your life trying to pay them back or trying to prove to them who you are or that you're right. But no, if you will let God do it his way, he will pay you back with much more than you lost. He'll make it up to you in a much greater way. It's one thing to come through a trial with everybody praying for you and cheering you on. And that's great, family. We need people to encourage us. But is it a greater testimony to come through a trial and nobody even knew you went through it? You were so consistent, so stable, so calm, so much peace, nobody could even tell anything was wrong. No matter what comes our way, our attitude should be, I know God is in control. I know he's with me. He's for me. Everything's going to be all right. Let's let that phrase sink into our spirit. Everything is going to be all right. Somebody says, how about this economy? No one's job is secure. You have to know deep inside, that's true, but I know Jehovah Jireh, my provider, cares for me. He loves me, and everything is going to be all right. Or they say, heard your teenager's out of control. You declare the word of God and say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. Somebody says, I heard you got a bad report from the doctor. Your attitude should be, I did, but I've got another report. And it says, God is restoring health back to me. Everything is going to be all right. If we meditate on that simple phrase, everything's going to be all right, no matter how big the challenge, it'll help us stay calm. Some of us have been anxious, worried, wrestling with the situation month after month. God is saying in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Contemporary English version says, our God says, calm down and learn that I am God. Get your peace back. Get your joy back. It may look dark and gloomy, but right above those dark clouds, the sun's always shining. God has you in the palm of his hand. Isaiah 49:2 of the Contemporary English, he keeps me safely hidden in the palm of his hand. Turn it over to him. Quit worrying about it. Everything is going to be all right. Say this with me. Thank you, Father, for keeping me in the palm of your hand. Thank you for keeping me at perfect peace. Sometimes God doesn't deliver us from the storm, but he does provide shelter through the storm. Last time we were together, we looked at the Old Testament account of the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were commanded to bow down to the king's idol, or they'd be thrown in the fiery furnace. They displayed a great attitude instead. They weren't worried about it. They believed God cares, God loves them, and they decided to trust him. They knew everything was going to be all right. They believed God would deliver them. They didn't fight the king's authority or his anger. They didn't fight their storm. They ran to the shelter of peace, knowing if they died, they would spend eternity with God. But if they lived, they couldn't give in. They had to remain faithful to the one true God. They weren't upset, stressed out, or complaining. They were at peace. They knew nothing could happen without God's permission. We know the story. In the end, they came out without even the smell of smoke. God didn't deliver them from the fire. He protected them. He sheltered them in the fire. You may be in the fire today, but remember, Favor is coming. Isaiah 42, verse 2 of the New Living says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Your Savior. I am the Lord your God, your Savior. He's going to save us and protect us. If we're going to stay in peace, we have to let God do it his way. If we're only going to be happy if it happens the way we want it to, when we want it to, we're probably going to end up frustrated. God's ways are not always our ways. His timetable may not line up with our timetable. But I've personally found that God's ways are always much better than my way. It may take longer than I want. In fact, it usually does. Anybody else have that experience? Maybe I have to stretch or go through some exercise. But when it's all said and done, the storm will pass and we come out of the shelter refreshed, restored, promoted, increased, elevated, and better off than we were before. Psalm 66:12 says, "We went through the fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance." God is about to turn it around, family. He's about to amaze you with his goodness. Psalm 64, verse 9 says, "Then everyone will be afraid. They will proclaim the mighty acts of God and realize all the amazing things he does. The godly will rejoice in the Lord and find shelter in him." When we remain at rest, family, he brings us out safely. We may be in deep waters, but if we hold our peace, good things are headed our way. Perhaps you're in a situation where you're not being treated right. But if you'll just stay calm, I can assure you something good is coming your way. Breakthroughs are coming. Amen? "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Be still and know he is God. Run into the shelter, into the place of peace." God has favor in your future. He already has the solution. This situation you are in did not surprise him. Let me say that again. Whatever challenge you are in, whatever situation that is stressing you out, that's not a surprise to God. He saw it coming. And it's not too big for him. In fact, I heard Joyce Meyer say recently, "You don't have a problem until you have a problem that only God can fix." But there's no problem too big for our God. Amen? Isaiah 30:15 out of the New Living says, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength." Contemporary English version says, "If you turn back to me and calm down, I will make you strong." We have a greater strength when we get quiet. That's the power of peace. We think better. We make better decisions. We feel better. We have more energy. We don't just have to endure life. When we're in the shelter, when we're in peace, that's when we enjoy life. I don't doubt that some of us may be in a storm today. I'm sure the winds are howling. I'm sure it's dark and scary. What I'm suggesting, what I'm encouraging you to do, is simply step into the shelter. Know you have faith. Know that God loves you. Know that he cares. Know that God has you in the palm of his hand. Believe right now that God is fighting your battles. Believe God's going to take what was meant for harm and use it for good. Life's too short to live uptight, frustrated, and worried. Shake it off and come into that place of peace. Here's a powerful verse. John 14:27 out of the New King James. This is Jesus talking. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus left us his peace. Jesus left his peace with us. The same peace he enjoyed while sleeping on the boat in the middle of a storm that terrified experienced fishermen. That's incredible, family. We don't have a peace or somebody's peace or Buddha's peace or Muhammad's peace or our uncle's peace or grandpa's peace. We have the exact same peace that Jesus experienced. That's what he said right here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The exact same peace that Jesus operated in when he was being crucified. The exact same peace in the middle of that storm. That peace is ours. It's a gift from God. Let's put that verse back up here. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. That sounds like an instruction, wouldn't you agree? Jesus is saying we can let our heart be troubled or afraid. But he's telling us here not to allow that to happen in our life. Sounds like it's a choice, doesn't it? Jesus gave us his peace. If we want to see God's favor, if we want to see him turn it around, then instead of complaining and worrying, we have to start speaking victory in that storm. I've heard my mentor, Dr. Theo Womeran, say this so many times. If you don't talk to the storm will talk to you. The storm will tell you, you're not going to make it. The storm will tell you, it's going too slow. The storm will tell you, the enemy's too big. You're never going to get well. And so many other negative thoughts. No, we must speak to the storm like Jesus did. Speak the word of God. Speak scriptural principles like, you, my God, are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I will live and not die. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God is my shelter and my protection in the storm. Amen? Psalm 73, 28. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter. And I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. When we start speaking the word, the storm starts to dissipate. When we start declaring what God's word says about us, we will have more peace. God's work begins to go to work. It's alive, quick, and powerful. When we speak God's word, all of heaven comes to attention. The angels go to work. Favor and blessings released into our life. We can't be passive and just sit back, letting those negative thoughts invade our day. Trying to convince us all hope is lost. We have to be on the offensive. Our attitude should be, I may be in the fire, but I know favor's coming. My finances may be tight, but I know increase is headed my way. I may be in the flood, but I know I'm in the palm of his hand. We can have peace in the midst of the storm. It may be bad all around us, but we have to find the shelter. Find that place of rest and peace. Stay calm. That's how we prove to God we trust him. Here's the conclusion. Psalm 91 out of the New Living. Let's read this in the light of what we've learned so far today. Starting in verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. If we will make God our shelter, if we will be still and know he is God, we can be assured everything is going to be all right. Just like Daniel, God will bring us out of the lion's den. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we will come out of the furnace. We will come out of our fire without the smell of smoke. I believe and declare over your life, you will overcome every obstacle. You will defeat every enemy. You will accomplish every God-given dream. You will find shelter and know the power of peace. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you that you are our shelter.
We hope this message has been a blessing to you. The preceding message is copyrighted by Christian Family Church International and may not be duplicated for commercial use. Non-commercial distribution of this message to a reasonable number of friends for the purpose of spreading the gospel is allowed, with the restriction that this oral notice must stay a part of the message.